Yes. Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is David Quartman. I represent Calvary Chapel, Dayton Valley. I'll attempt to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, if I'm able. Okay. Calvary Chapel is a small church of a few hundred people. They adhere to the Bible's command of gathering together for prayer and worship. And to the church, meeting these spiritual needs is no less essential than meeting physical needs, such as food and water. And while the state may disagree, the free exercise clause does not permit the state to make such value judgments. Calvary Chapel has endured the state's discriminatory treatment for nearly 10 months now. That's nearly 40 weeks of worship services that have been either completely banned or subject to much limited numbers and size of attenders. And when the state first shut down all worship services, it allowed to stay open what it deemed to be essential businesses. That included dozens of retail businesses, manufacturing plants, public transportation, and the like. And a few months later, when the state did open up religious services, it limited them to less than 10 people at a time. That's similar to the Roman Catholic Diocese's recent opinion. But it allowed, at the same time, retail businesses, including cannabis stores, at 50% of their usage, and manufacturing plants at only social distancing limits.
I don't want to interrupt too much what you're saying here, but this is what you've said in your brief, and I've got some specific questions following out of the Roman Catholic Diocese case. So if I may, let me ask you to start with whether Roman Catholic Diocese, and that's what I'm going to call that case, changes the meaning of, in quotes, neutral and generally applicable that we know from the Employment Division versus Smith. And if so, in what way?
Sure. I don't think it changes the meaning of neutral and generally applicable. I think what it did in this case, it expanded the universe of comparable uses. As this court is aware, there's been a debate across the country over what is a proper comparable use. Is a laundromat, is a liquor store, is a big box store. What Roman Catholic Diocese did, it recognized once and for all that these uses were indeed similar to religious worship services and house of worship. What's interesting here is not only do we have those similar uses, we do have better treatment of liquor stores and retail businesses, but we also have much stronger comparators. We have the casinos, we have the restaurants, the bars, the gyms, and those type of facilities. So I think
I think you would agree that the Supreme Court has changed its composition and has changed the focus in terms of how these comparators make a difference. We've got of course, the Smith case. We have the city of Lacuma on the other end. But comparators never really were much of a factor before. It was really whether there was religious animus. The Supreme Court in the Roman Catholic Diocese case, however, seemed to be saying that when you have these comparators, i.e., where you have secular businesses that are being treated better than religious communities, particularly when they have religious communities have a very good record of complying with the social distancing and the like, that in effect takes the place of religious animus and moves us up to strict scrutiny. Do you agree with that?
I part do and part I don't, and here's what I mean by that. Okay. Religious animus is enough to bring it up to strict scrutiny, although I don't think it is required. The court in Roman Catholic Diocese noticed there was probably some targeting and some hostility, but it set that aside and said, regardless, even if we don't find that, there's still a violation for being not neutral and not generally applicable. And Your Honor, if we look to Lacumi that Your Honor mentioned, it was looking at analogous conduct also. The hostility in that case was only joined by two justices. It was not a majority opinion. And so it looked at the analogous conduct of killing. And what it said was, as well, if you killed an animal in hunting or you use it for a restaurant, that would be permissible. But if you killed it for an animal sacrifice, that would not be. So the neutral and generally applicable comparison, if you will, I think is similar to what was done in Smith and similar to what was said in Lacumi. But I think what Roman Catholic Diocese did was a couple of things. Number one, it reiterated that standard, but it expanded the universe of analogous conduct in these type of cases, in COVID cases. And not only are the uses that we've been saying are similar, the restaurants and the bars and the gyms similar, But again, what argued to be in other cases, the liquor stores, the big box stores, the laundromats, a lot of courts said were not similar because of the number of people.
And along that line, as you know, of course, Justice Gorsuch and Justice Kavanaugh specifically referenced, as indeed did the per curiam opinion, these various liquor stores, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and saying that the religious entity was treated one way, they were treated another way. And it seems that they were saying, if you have that, you're under strict scrutiny and it's very difficult to overcome that. Is that your position as well?
That absolutely is. And I think what's important is that was the first Supreme Court majority opinion in these types of cases. And so a lot of people were citing to South Bay, which was a concurrence by the chief. There was no majority opinion there. The important part about Roman Catholic Diocese is that was the first Supreme Court majority opinion. And exactly as Your Honor mentioned, it ruled that when you treat these type of secular comparators better than you do churches, then you're at strict scrutiny.
Counsel,
Counsel,
what is for your client? What's the fire code capacity?
The fire code capacity is 200 people, Your Honor.
Okay, so the fire code capacity is 200. So what comparators, given that yours is 200, so 25% of 200 would obviously be 50. Who's treated worse? I mean, who's treated better, rather?
Well, who's treated better are casinos. They have, in fact, I'll go through the list, but all of the other uses under Directive 21 have a 50% usage with no hard cap.
All right, I'm sorry. Let me ask a better question. Who's treated better under the directive that's currently in effect?
All retail businesses are treated better. The same types of businesses.
So how are retail businesses treated better, given that your fire code capacity is 200?
Because they're allowed to have 50% without any hard cap. So, for example, if you have a store, if you have a restaurant, if you have a big box store that was mentioned in Roman Catholic Diocese.
Yeah, so big box store, yes, but restaurants, as I understand it, under the current system are 25% of the listed fire code capacity. There is no lesser, but with you, if you're 200, you get 50, right?
That's correct, except for there's no hard cap. Even under the current Directive 35, all of those uses are still treated better because there is no hard cap. So if you have a restaurant, if you have a casino that holds can still have hundreds to thousands of people. So the differential treatment is the fact that there's a percentage basis, but there's a hard cap with churches, but no hard cap with any of the other uses. And I think that's the violation here because they're not treated the same.
Well, let me ask you this. My colleague mentioned this, the more recent directive. We're actually dealing in this case specifically with Directive 21, are we not?
We are. And what was challenged and found not to be moot already in this case, which was a correct ruling, is that Directive 21 is being challenged. In fact, if you look at Roman Catholic Diocese, the directive that they challenged was already changed at the time of the hearing. But the directive that the court ruled upon was the original one that was challenged. And what the court said, which applies here, is that the case is not moot because the state can easily go back to it. And that's exactly
So for our purpose, let's just assume arguendo that we agree that under Roman Catholic Diocese, that the churches, particularly with respect to the cap, are being treated differently, and that we're dealing with Directive 21. What should we be doing here? That gets into strict scrutiny. Should we be sending this back to the district court to make a determination? There's no evidence so far other than just, you know, some declarations, but there's been no evidentiary hearing. The district court obviously was trying to review this on a rational basis. So if you were in our situation, arguendo, if we agreed with you, what do? Do we send it back? Do we stay with 21? Do we have to go, or are we even in a position to evaluate any changes that the governor's office has made in the directive?
The court should rule on Directive 21 because that's what's being challenged here, and it's not moot. the court should either issue the preliminary injunction or send it back down, instructing the lower court to issue the preliminary injunction. And the reason for that is the question is, are the preliminary injunction standards satisfied now to this court? And the answer is they clearly are based on Roman Catholic Diocese, because it's a legal question as to when you treat all these other secular uses better, you're violating the pre-exercise clause because it's not neutral and generally applicable. Even the minimum requirement of neutrality is not met. And as to the evidence, Your Honor, so there was a hearing.
Counsel, the injunction that you would seek would be exactly what? Because my question is, for example, if you said, treat us no worse than casinos, I would understand that. But you want to go beyond that. Is it treat us no worse than anybody that is here, so that as long as you allow the biggest warehouse in the world to be unlimited, you have to allow the churches to be unlimited? I have a little more trouble with that, because in New York, as I understood it, what they did was simply it took them back to an area in the yellow, which the churches were willing to live with. They didn't want to live with the red and orange zone. So in your case, is there any limitation you're willing to live with? And if so, which one and why?
Absolutely. The first thing I'll say is we are not challenging any of the mask wearing, distancing, hand sanitizing. I just want to make that clear. The church is only challenging the numerical limit. And what the court did in Roman Catholic Diocese, it didn't put a number in. What it said was, when you treat houses of worship worse than comparable secular uses, that violates the pre-exercise clause. In this case, because we're challenging Directive 21, I wouldn't just name a casino or a particular use, although we can give examples and we have them. So what I would say, under Directive 21, the church should be allowed 50% usage, because that's, you can list the uses, so 50% uses. And what I would add is per room, because you have movie theaters, you have schools that are allowed that cap per room, where the church is only allowed that cap for one part of their building. It's not separated per room. So that's how I would answer Your Honor's question, do the same exact thing. So
this under 21, basically most of the major uses are 50% per room, let's say, in general. And that's what you say, treat us no worse than them. Okay.
Let me ask one quick question. You may want to save some time. In the per curiam opinion, the court referred to this specific case in a footnote 2, as well as the South Bay case, and did so in connection with, they referred to them as less restrictive requirements. What, if anything, should we make of the reference to this case in footnote 2?
Yes, Your Honor. The court only said that the restriction in New York of 10 people in the red zones and 25 people in the orange zones was more restrictive than 50 people here and 100 people in South Bay. That's true, as a matter of fact. So it was more restrictive. That's all the court said in the footnote. What I would add here is that although we have 50 people that are allowed in the church, casinos are allowed thousands, restaurants and bars are allowed hundreds. So in comparison, it is restrictive here. And if it's permissible with the court, I'd like to save the remainder of my time.
That'll be fine. So now we have responding on behalf of the governor's office, Mr. Newby. I guess you're going first. And as I understand it, you have 12 minutes of the time. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And then Mr. Hardy will have 3 minutes. Is that right?
That's correct.
Very well. Okay, please, Mr. Newby, would you like to proceed?
Thank you, Your Honors. Good day. My name is Craig Newby. I'm Deputy Solicitor General for the State of Nevada, representing Nevada's governor and Nevada's Attorney General in this case. As of last night, more than 280,000 Americans have died from COVID-19, including more than 2,300 Nevadans. Nevada has a significantly higher per capita rate of new cases of COVID-19 than California and New York. Record percentages of Nevada hospitals beds are occupied. New vaccines will begin being distributed before Christmas, but not before this increased surge continues. To slow COVID-19 spread, Nevada has instituted temporary restrictions on mass gatherings.
Counsel, let me just ask you this for a second. I mean, like the Supreme Court, I think we on this court all recognize the severity and seriousness of the COVID-19 threat. What we're dealing with here is whether the citizens who are impacted by the directives that issued by the governor's office are being treated equally or at least constitutionally the same. I'd like to know your thoughts. You, of course, are familiar with the Roman Catholic diocese case. But in addition to that, we recently, the Supreme Court, in a brief order, in the case of the Harvest Rock Church, vacated the district court opinion, sent the case back to our court to send it to the district court to review in light of the Roman Catholic Church case. Now, that situation is a little bit more complex. California, where I am from as well, we have lots of tiers, and we have some very, very difficult restrictions, and yet the Supreme Court sent this back. What does the Supreme Court's vacation of the Harvest Rock Church case tell us about what we should be understanding from the Supreme Court's new jurisprudence?
Your Honor, I think what Harvest Rock instructs us in terms of us attempting to understand what the Supreme Court decided Thanksgiving week in Roman Catholic diocese is that, one, California and Nevada have different restrictions, much less severe, as used repeatedly throughout the per curiam opinion, through Justice Kavanaugh's concurrence, and also used in Chief Justice Roberts' dissent in that case. There are different level of restrictions. In how the Supreme Court treated Harvest Rock Church, where in Tier 1 counties, which Your Honor is more familiar with exactly than I, but Tier 1 is a bit of a misnomer, as almost the entire population of California is within Tier 1 counties at this
point. Look, counsel, with respect, is it a question of how strict something is the issue, or is it whether churches within whatever tier you're in or zone is treated differently than essential businesses and secular businesses? Isn't that the issue we're dealing with here?
I think the answer to that is both, in terms of there's a difference in terms of the numerical restriction, but there's also multiple other factors for a court to consider. All of these cases have arisen in the context of injunctive relief, which is a fact-based determination pursuant to the winter factors in terms of weighing relative hardships, weighing the public interest, and weighing and identifying factually what the differences are in terms of, at one level, looking at the numbers themselves, in two, looking at the compelling interest that a state like Nevada or California would have based on its current disease level.
Let me ask you a specific question about Nevada. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. My understanding is that, of course, Nevada has no income tax, but it gets its revenue almost entirely from the gambling industry. So there's a strong, if I understand it correctly, a very strong motivation on the part of the state to have the gambling industry be in at full tilt. But if you have a casino on Black Acre and you have a church on White Acre, and the casino is allowed for whatever reason to have 1,000 people in the room, and the church is allowed to have 50% of the fire code, which turns out to be 50 people, that's not justifiable, is it, under the Roman Catholic diocese case?
Well, Your Honor, there's two points in response to that. First, that hypothetical is not the facts that are currently on the ground. As addressed during questioning by your colleague, Judge Bennett, under Directive 35, Calvary Chapel, Dayton Valley is subject to the same 50%, 25% limit as casinos and virtually any business in Nevada currently.
Well, what about the cap?
We have two cases here today, but in this first case, Calvary Chapel, Dayton Valley has an occupancy level of 200. The cap does not come into play as the limitation under Directive 35 because it's a 25% cap, which...
Why are we talking about 35? This is about 21, is it not?
This case is about Directive 21, which has been terminated by the state of Nevada a month and a half ago.
But that was also true of what happened in the Roman Catholic Diocese case. The actual limitations that they were reviewing had been terminated by the state and made more generous. So I think, at least my understanding is, perhaps my colleagues feel differently, is we're reviewing Directive 21, not 35. Do you disagree with that?
I don't disagree that Directive 21 is what has been challenged on appeal to this court.
Counsel, on that point, if we were to agree with your friend across the aisle that there are provisions of Directive 21, which is not now in force, with regard to which a preliminary injunction should be granted, but now what's in force as a matter of fact, no one disputes it, is Directive 35. But if we find that what's in 21 doesn't pass strict scrutiny or doesn't appear to pass strict scrutiny, what in the state of Nevada's view should we do in terms of our order, given that 35 is now in effect and given, as Judge Smith pointed out, there was a similar situation in New York, but the Supreme Court enjoined the prior directive from Governor Cuomo. What should we do here?
Your Honor, I think the clear direction in how we respond has been provided to us by the Supreme Court in its decision to have Harvest Rock Church remanded to the district court for consideration in light of Roman Catholic Diocese, but without an injunction and entered pending that reconsideration.
But in the actual decision they wrote, as opposed to their whatever one paragraph or two sentence order, in the actual decision they wrote, they enjoined what was going on in New York. So your view is that if we find Directive 21 not passing strict scrutiny, we should do what they did in the California case and just simply remand this case to the district court for determination in light of the Catholic Diocese case, which I'm sure the district court wouldn't thank us for that lack of direction. But that's your view of what we should do.
Yes, that is my view of what should be done. That is how the Supreme Court itself has treated this new decision in Roman Catholic in terms of how it's addressed subsequent cases involving this same issue.
Counsel, if I could take you back to 35 in an argument that you seem to be about to make, saying, well, I mean, 35 doesn't really hurt these folks because 25% is 50. And I was going to say, if that's the case, and then across the board, why wouldn't you be willing to just take off the cap and treat them the same as the vast majority of businesses at 25%, or if you went back to 50%, at 25% and no cap, you're right, Dayton Valley would be in the same position, but they would be mostly happy. Maybe other churches would want a little bit more, but can you give me some specifics other than just liking the power, why you wouldn't say give them the same capacity limits with no hard cap as other roughly comparable businesses, which you're really doing almost all of them, right? Except for these very large retail groceries. So what would be wrong with that?
Your Honor, I think in terms of a percentage cap, that certainly is an option for this court. If it had a more developed factual and procedural record, we're not in the situation here, as alluded to during earlier.
Who has the factual basis there? That is, if your implicit assumption is that at 25% capacity, churches and synagogues are in some way, you know, closer together, that people in churches don't follow rules, whether as in casinos, they always follow the rules. Wouldn't you have to put on some of that record?
Your Honor, certainly if the district court below had conducted an evidentiary hearing on these types of fact-based questions, certainly I would be able to point to something within the record to answer that question specifically on behalf of Nevada's governor. We just don't have that record here in the same sort of way as what was addressed in Roman Catholic.
So counsel, as the attorney for the state of Nevada, give me your best argument, as you are here today, as to why for churches, synagogues, mosques, and other houses of worship, they have the lesser, and all these other entities and organizations, zoos, aquariums, a variety of other things, don't have the lesser. So explain, give me your best argument here today as to why that is an acceptable limit for houses of worship, but not for all the rest of these under Directive 35 that don't have the lesser.
Your Honor, with regards to Directive 21,
no, my question is 35. My question is as to 35.
As to why there's a specific per person cap in 35 for
justify it as best you can for houses of worship. It's the lesser of, and for so many others, it's not the lesser of.
The argument for the per person cap in the context of religious services is the heightened risk associated with the type of exposure that's there. The question, first of all, misassumes that it's a restriction on religious services generally. It certainly is not. While Nevada does not have quite as temperate of a climate as you have, Your Honor, in Hawaii, there is the opportunity and availability without numerical limitations for outdoor services. And it fits into the type of COVID risk specifically associated with these types of mass gatherings close in. And the governor made the determination that there are differences in terms of the nature of the activity, the fact that the very nature of what religious services are congregating, coming together as one.
But that's not true. And that's not true in casinos, right?
Casinos are different, as found by the district court on the record, in terms of, is this court bound to look in terms of comparable simply at a number alone, or to look at the overall directive itself in terms of the increased enforcement ability that casinos have, the increased regulatory...
But counsel, with respect, I read that in your brief and I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, the reality is that when you have all these people in the casinos, they're not paying attention to any rules. I don't care how well it's regulated. So I don't see how you justify treating religion worse than the casinos, houses of worship, whether it's under 35 or whether it's under 21. What possible argument could you have that answers Roman Catholic diocese on that score?
And Your Honor, the district court below found that they needed to take into account in terms of gaming, in terms of the regulatory structure, not specifically with regards to participants who may, by stereotypes, engage in frivolous, fun activities, but in terms of the regulated owners of those facilities, in terms of the restrictions, in terms of additional specific health training for its employees, in terms of having COVID testing on site, having COVID-19 isolation abilities for people. And the district court made that determination prior to Roman Catholic coming about.
So it made the determination based on a rational basis, but how would it fare under strict scrutiny?
It certainly is, for purposes of considering strict scrutiny, it would be necessary for the district court on remand to consider it a factual basis in terms of weighing, in terms of the compelling interest that Nevada has, whether this is the most tailored method in terms of achieving this compelling interest. And then in the context of making that determination is just the first of the four-factor winter test to determine whether Calvary Chapel, Dayton Valley is entitled to an injunctive relief.
Unless my colleagues disagree, we've let you go way over the time. You're supposed to have 12 minutes, and we're going to give Mr. Hardy his full 3 minutes. But do either of my colleagues have additional questions for Mr. Newby before we turn to Mr. Hardy, who has the other part of the argument for the state?
No, I think we'll get Mr. Newby again, right, in the next case?
Yes, we will indeed. We will indeed. So we'll have the opportunity to have speaks with him then.
I'm sorry, Mr. Newby, I meant we'll have the opportunity to have another dialogue with you.
I look forward to it, Your Honor.
All right, Mr. Hardy, you have 3 minutes, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. Brian Hardy with the law firm of Marquis Arbaugh Coffing on behalf of the Lyon County Sheriff. I'm not on behalf of the state. I am specific to the sheriff, who has been the enforcement. And frankly, to answer, I think, Justice Bennett's earlier question, there is no justification. Here, the sheriff acknowledges that government officials may need to make difficult decisions when faced with a public health crisis. But since the onset of the public health crisis earlier this year, the sheriff has steadfastly refused to enforce the governor's directives for three important reasons. First, the directives are in question. The sheriff believes them to be facially unconstitutional, which is consistent with what I think the Roman Catholic Diocese case holds and where this court should go. Aside from the governor seemingly limitless emergency powers, the open discrimination against places of worship and those who assemble to exercise their faith raise serious First Amendment issues. The sheriff understands that gatherings are a concern when trying to stop the spread of the virus. However, the rights of the Constitution are far from non-essential. The severe restrictions on places of worship are simply incompatible with the lesser restrictions on businesses unilaterally deemed essential by our governor. It is concerning that the governor has deemed it unsafe to go to church, but it's perfectly acceptable to pick up a Schedule I drug, spend the afternoon at the poker table in a full casino.
Counsel, as I understand the sheriff's position in the brief, we think the governor is wrong, but don't issue any injunction that stops the sheriff from doing his job.
Well, first of all, I think that we can look to Justice Gorsuch in the Como case, but who knew public health was so perfectly aligned with secular convenience?
What does the sheriff want us to do?
Yeah, the sheriff thinks that in this particular issue, we have a governor who really represents one and a half counties.
What does the sheriff want us to do in this case?
We would say that you would enjoin the state, consistent with the relief that has been sought with, that's been sought by Calvary Church. But that this also provides an opportunity for the court, this court and or, you know, we get the writ going up to the Supreme Court to affirm that the authority of local officials and law enforcement to follow the Constitution, even when doing so, is contrary to the edicts of state officials. And that's the authority that we have in this particular. The sheriff has the authority as a local official. And we look towards a number of different cases that you can see. And in fact, in the diocese case, Justice Gorsuch has opined on Jacobson. And in Jacobson, the court is stated it's well established. I think that constitutionally entrusts the health and safety of communities to the elected officials who are most accountable to the people and most knowledgeable about the needs of their communities. And it's those individuals, such as the sheriff and the county commissioners in Lyon County, that are accountable as elected officials to those residents. Those residents don't get a chance. Their vote really doesn't count when it comes to voting for the governor who issues these edicts. Who is responsible to them is the local officials, the sheriff and the county commissioners, and they should be able to assess, consistent with the CDC directives, what is necessary for their local community and enforce those things as long as they're neutral and constitutional, enforce those things that are necessary for the health and safety of their community. Thank you. I see my time is up.
Other questions by my colleague? Okay, hearing none, we go back. Mr. Courtman has a little rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just a few points in response. Number one, Directive 21 is what's legally at issue here. The mootness question goes exactly to that. Should we still be ruling on Directive 21? According to Roman Catholic Diocese, the answer is yes. Even looking at Directive 35, which is not at issue, it still violates the church's rights because retail businesses are allowed at 50% with no cap, and under Roman Catholic diocese, those are proper comparators.
Counsel, in addition, let's just say, like, let's say for a minute that we agree with you. What should we do? What should we order in this case?
I would order for a preliminary injunction to be issued. The principal ruling would be that it violates the free exercise clause to treat secular uses better than religious uses. I would go on to say that what we're looking at is Directive 21, and that a 50% cap limit with no cap per room should apply to churches, just like all the other comparable uses under Directive 21.
Read the same for churches as it does for any of the secular businesses. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. I think that's what Roman Catholic Diocese tells us, and we know what the comparable uses are in that case: retail businesses, liquor stores, laundromats. We also have here restaurants, bars, casinos, and similar types of uses.
Well, as in Roman Catholic cases, the court basically enjoined the enforcement of the governor's severe restrictions on the applicant's religious service, which I gather was the caps. In this particular case, what are we looking at, the caps?
Yes. So the way that I would look at this case is the same treatment for the best comparable secular uses. And so what I would say is that if the state decides that all retail businesses, all the ones we've named, casinos, bars, restaurants, are allowed at 50%, that should be the same as churches, without a hard cap that doesn't apply to everybody else. So casinos, retail businesses at 50%, the church should be the same. It's a simple ruling, follows Roman Catholic diocese.
Well, how does that exactly work with the governor presumably at the present time not enforcing Directive 21, but instead enforcing Directive 35? How exactly would that type of injunction work with regard to providing notice to the state of what they can and can't do if the governor is proceeding right now on 35? Would this be, these are what are in effect if you ever try to reinstate 21, or would this apply to your enforcement of 35 also, even though the terms there are different? In your view, how would that affect the governor trying to enforce 35?
I think it would apply the same, because the court would be giving the principle that whatever directive comes now or in the future, the principle for the governor is however you treat retail businesses, restaurants, casinos in the future, you have to treat churches the same. We know under Directive 35, retail businesses are at 50%. So that same ruling under Directive 21 would guide the governor under Directive 35, because he's still treating retail businesses at 50%, but yet churches are only at 25% with a 50 hard cap.
Okay. Do either of my colleagues have additional questions?
Yes, very quickly, just to be clear there, as I understand it, under 35, restaurants, bars, casinos, et cetera, are at 25%. It is retail businesses, apparently, which, you know, could be, I take it as largely or significantly grocery stores, big box stores, et cetera. Am I right about that as to what 35 says right now?
You are correct.
But you're pushing not only for equality with casinos, bars, and restaurants, but equality with Sam's Club, Walmart, the biggest Kroger in Vegas.
Yes, the same comparables that were used in Roman Catholic Diocese of retail businesses.
Although the first would in fact give you most of the relief that you would probably really want, that is, if you're treated no worse than casinos, you're probably in pretty good shape.
That's probably true, looking at the directives. I think that's right.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Any other questions by my colleagues? We thank all counsel in this case for their argument. I guess we're not going to see you in the next one, Mr. Cortman, but we thank you for your argument. We are going to submit Calvary Chapel, Dayton Valley versus Sisolak et al., and we will now go to the last case of the day, which is Calvary Chapel, Lone Mountain versus Sisolak.